Brian McLaughlin, Communications Officer with the Inner City Helping Homeless. Brian, good morning again and welcome back to the programme.
Morning, Donny. How are you?
Brian, we set up this chat and we will, in fact, we'll deal with that topic first. This, now that Halloween is out of the way, we have a clear run to Christmas. Normally, we partner up with you for your Christmas shoebox appeal, etc. And we do our best to help you and promote it and all that goes with that good stuff. But I would imagine that this year is going to be completely different.
Yeah, don't you hit the nail on the head there. Obviously, it's a very different Christmas for everybody. You know, normally coming into this time of year, as you're fully aware, we have a number of fundraising events, and it usually culminates in a big event in December, which has been the Fill of Lewis on previous years, but last year it was the Fill of Christmas Truck. And obviously, they're all out the window now for this year, for obvious reasons. So it's going to be a very different run-up to Christmas for us. But I suppose the biggest thing for us is that we're rebranding the Christmas Shoebox Appeal this year. It's going to be the Santa Box Appeal, and we will be launching it this week because we have had a lot of feedback, particularly from schools. It's kind of funny because a lot of people are working from home from their jobs, so a lot of companies that would have previously got involved won't be actually on site to be able to do it. However, we've had a lot of contacts from schools because they're going to be in right up to Christmas, and a lot of them want to get on board with it. So I would say to your listeners, keep an eye on our social media platforms over the next few days, and there will be a launch coming along.
And any harm in asking if you're not betraying trade secrets? And there's a lot of that going on at the moment. But and you'd be in good company if you did. Can you give us an insight into what format this year's appeal is going to take, Brian?
Yeah, so it'll be similar to previous years. It'll be people can pack their shoeboxes in their local clubs, their houses, their schools. They can fill a box with the likes of a hat, scarf, gloves, chocolate, toiletries, a little voucher for the likes of a coffee shop or Easton's, for example. They would mark it male or female or boy or girl. And if it's a child, we would ask people to kind of give a rough age bracket so that we can kind of sort them that way. We'll be either collecting from people or they'll be able to drop them straight to our warehouse in Glasnevin. Unfortunately, this year, we used to have people be able to come to our office on Avian Street and donate to us as well. But due to COVID-19 risks and the fact that we still are operational fully with limited staff, we have to direct people to the warehouse instead of the office this year.
And I presume that when we get nearer the date, Brian, that signs will be erected to make it very easy for people to find that industrial unit down in Dublin Industrial Estate. There is opposite Glasnevin Cemetery, for those who don't know it, but everybody knows where the Dublin Industrial Estate is. But I presume that to find the unit, there will be new signage in place.
There is signage there now, yes. So there is signage in place now. Now, just a little side note, I can't give away too much just yet, but because of the fact that COVID is going to limit the amount of people can get out for justifiable reasons, we're also going to be launching something alongside the Sandbox Appeal to allow people to get involved at home. So I can't give too much away on that. All I'll say is watch this space over the next coming couple of weeks. We have a couple of big plans in place because ultimately, while getting there is going to be very different this year, the demand for our support and services is still there. So we're going to be looking to supply these Santa boxes to as many people in emergency accommodation as possible. So we will get everyone covered that we always get. So we'll make sure that that happens. But we have a couple of little ideas in the pipeline over the next couple of weeks with a couple of our partners that will allow people to get involved from home. So I suppose watch this space and more will be revealed over the coming weeks.
And I can assure you, my friends, we will bring it to you the minute Brian lets us know, you will know. So you will get all the details of the Christmas appeal on behalf of the Inner City Helping Homeless right here on Near FM 90.3. We will bring it to you immediately we have it. Brian, you touched on it there, so let's talk about it. The demand for your services, I would have a sneaking suspicion, Brian, that the demand for your services is increasing.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose from our perspective, I mean, as everyone sees, that there has been a drop in the overall registered homeless figures over the last few months, primarily down to the fact that they had a ban on evictions during the original lockdown for COVID-19. Now, where we're seeing a massive increase in requests is people living in food poverty. As your previous guest Michelle said, you know, there's 680,000 people living below the food poverty line in Ireland, 200,000 of which are children. If you add in the fact that so many industries have people on PUP payments, you know, the likes of the pub industry, the arts, entertainment, things like that. So we're seeing an increase for demand on people needing food support and that as well. So we're predicting and estimating that we will see a bigger demand for not only for the Santa boxes, but also for supports with food and Christmas hampers and so on. So we need to have ourselves in a good enough position to be able to support everybody as normal. And I suppose that's what's very different this year, because normally we'd be planning that big event in December, or we'd be planning multiple fundraising events that people will be doing for us. So that's not going to happen this year. But as I say, because so many people are living below that poverty line, they're living in uncertainty because of COVID-19, we will endeavour to support everybody like we do in any other year.
Brian, I'm just thinking here off the top of my head while we're chatting. I mean, I would imagine that the demand on your services, and you have outlined there quite eloquently as always where you are at the moment in relation to demand, but I would also imagine that, and I'm thinking particularly of another organisation that's extremely close to my heart, and you know it, it'd be the Cabbage and Friary down there at the back of Brother Kevin and his crew down there. Like,
yeah,
all those groups, and I'm going to lump the whole lot of yous in together with this statement, like, every one of you, the demand on your services has to be increasing. Now, we see in the general population that there's no point in saying one thing and thinking another, Brian. Money and disposable income among the general population is decreasing because the PUP payments, the amount of people who are no longer in full-time proper employment as we would have known at this time last year, has increased. So therefore, the demand that you and all the other charitable organisations are making, you're making it to a public with a reduced funding to be able to help you out. So, I mean, the hunger is getting bigger, but the pie is getting smaller.
Yeah, in some ways, yes. You know, you're definitely right in that the amount of people that have a disposable income has reduced dramatically over the course of this year. I mean, people that aren't working, and it's hard enough to live off that type of money and on the PUP payment if you're paying rent and you're paying for food and bills and so forth. I suppose from the opposite side of that, people who have maintained their jobs right throughout this, who have been, you know, facilitated in working from home, and it hasn't been a big, you know, change for them. You know, a lot of those people, I suppose, on the other hand, they might have a lot more disposable income because the likes of the pubs are closed, the entertainment options aren't there. So people are actually probably building up, in some cases, a little bit of a nest egg running into Christmas because there's nowhere for them to spend the money. So we hope, you know, the one thing about the Irish people is we're classified as one of the most generous in the world. And I think the Irish people always step up, particularly for charity in the run-up to Christmas. So again, we're hoping that people get on board and support it as best they can. In fact, something we launched 2 weeks ago, which has proven to be a huge success, is we're now selling ICHH-branded face masks on our website on ICHH.ie. And obviously, people buy the face mask to keep safe, but also it equates to a big donation to ICHH as well. And they've been moving incredibly well over the last couple of weeks. And I suppose it's given people the outlet to say, look, you want to donate and support the charity for the work that all the volunteers do, and that's fantastic, but you can also buy a face mask and keep safe in the process. So I hope that the Irish people will come good again. But I suppose we've often talked about this, Tony. They shouldn't have to. I mean, the Irish people shouldn't have to step in. Volunteer organisations and groups like Brother Kevin's and ourselves, we shouldn't have to fill gaps that the state should be filling. And the problem is they're not. And I mean, it's very easy for the state to stand back and say, well, these charities are doing great work, let them deal with it. So I think there should be more done by the government and the state to not only support the people that are going to be on PUP payments or have lost their jobs in the run-up to Christmas, but also the likes of charities, because there's going to be huge holes in people's funding come the end of the year. And I think that's something that, like, we often say, I think we've said it on the show more than once, how bad would this country be if we didn't have the volunteers and the people out there doing this work for nothing, for the good of their health, only for the fact that they want to show empathy and compassion and try and help people that need it. Like, if we didn't have all those people out there, the country would be in a lot worse situation than we're in now.
Well, Brian, I can tell you from my point of view, and I have, as you know, I have looked at this and we have spoken about it the more than I've spoken to Michelle, we've spoken about it as well hundreds of times, both on and off air. And it is my belief that if everybody in this country who does something for nothing, and I'm speaking particularly of volunteers, if they stopped for a fortnight, maybe even a week, but definitely a fortnight, I think that this country would crumble immediately. And if you think it's bad now, you want to see it then. I mean, if the likes of yourselves, the brother Kevins, you know, we have a lot of volunteers here as well. We have throughout the sectors of society. And let's say, for argument's sake, that the people who are looking after those in their family who have fallen on tough times through illness and who are caring for a family member, if they all stopped doing that and said, right, listen, hang on a minute, there you go, Taoiseach and Tánaiste and front bench, it's your problem now. 2 weeks, and I think the whole country would be gone.
We'd be in serious trouble, and I think that you're spot on what you say there, and I think nothing highlights that even more than what we've experienced this year with COVID-19. I mean, when you look at the likes of Bravo Tango Charlie, who set up the Heroes Aid, and we're running PPE equipment on motorbikes around the country, people that were in desperate need of masks and visors and gowns in nursing homes, in private practices, and right across the country. And I mean, if those people hadn't stepped up in those situations, how many more deaths would we have seen? You know, how many more people would have been badly affected? And I think the government gets away a little bit lightly in that regard, because they're lucky that there's so many compassionate people in this country that are willing to give their time for nothing just to make a difference. And as you say, I think a week is even being optimistic. I think, like, particularly around, you hit a good point there. The likes of people who are carers for family members and friends at home, they're never given the proper support. You know, there's a lot of people in this country doing great work that get zero support for us. And I think if those people all down tools for a week, we'd be in serious trouble, all right.
And, you know, you would think that somewhere along the line, and I mean, I know, Brian, you're going to say that I'm mixing up my tablets or something this morning, that I took the green one instead of the pink one. But you would think that somebody somewhere, even not at ministerial level, but in the permanent government, at civil servant level, at the executive officers in each of those departments, that they would have copped that years ago. That, you know, we're skating on ice here. If people pull the plug, we're in deep, deep doo-doo.
Oh, I think it's definitely, they're definitely aware of that fact, but I think they're also aware of the fact that they're taking a gamble on the fact that the people won't let other people that are vulnerable down. And I think that's something that they're banking on, because, I mean, they certainly should know themselves how many volunteer organisations there are, whether it's homelessness, whether it's, you know, care of the elderly, whether it's mental health supports, you know, food supports, whatever it might be. And they know how many organisations are out there. I mean, the likes of ourselves and Brother Kevin's and Food Cloud and people like that, they put up the figures on how many people they're supporting. So, I mean, it's definitely a case that if that wasn't around and that wasn't available, I dread to think. I mean, we've had, I'm sure we'll cover it shortly, but we've had 50 deaths on the streets over the course of this year so far, which is way more than the previous 2 years. So imagine how many much more we'd have if our volunteers weren't out 7 nights a week and other organisations weren't feeding people at the GBO with a hot meal, or, you know, our night cafe, which is opened with ourselves in Mendicity. So, I mean, if those services weren't there, I dread to fear how many lives we would have lost at this stage.
Well, we are going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it right now, Brian, because I am seeing it that there is, and I think there was one period there, was it last week or the week before, where I think there was three people one day after the other, if not four, one day after the other.
Last week only we had five deaths in the space of 8 days across the country, four in Dublin and one in Wexford.
Well, there you go. But, you know, just momentarily, and I do not mean this disrespectfully to either your organisation or to the families of any of those people who passed away, but we're talking about it this morning live on radio, Brian. I have not heard this discussed in any media outlet all week.
Yeah, it's been very quiet. There's been a few kind of comments through, for example, when the homeless figures came out on Friday afternoon, you know, we obviously put out a press statement that would have sent it to you guys as well. And a lot of the articles in talking about the homeless figures for September did kind of cover the fact that there was the number of deaths, because that was something we included in our statement for Anthony. So it was part of his statement that went out. But yeah, I mean, there's been a big difference and a big change in the amount of media coverage homelessness gets since COVID-19. The biggest thing that was going on in the country pretty much for the previous 2-3 years was homelessness. And I mean, if you look around the general election, for example, housing and homelessness and health were the two primary issues. So anytime anything happened within homelessness, we were pretty much inundated with media calls and requests. But obviously, since COVID-19 has become the main topic of conversation across the country, the amount we hear from people regarding homelessness has completely dropped. So I would hope that we get out of COVID-19 sooner rather than later, and that becomes a distant memory, in which case then maybe people will go back to focusing on the issue of housing and homelessness, because it hasn't gone away.
But my argument in relation to that, Brian, is we're talking about it this morning, and it's the first chance we've had to hook up in a couple of weeks. So we're talking about it, but where's the other broadcasters? And, OK, I've seen a little bit in the print media about it and websites like that. But, you know, where is the other mainstream media outlets covering this to the extent that we're talking about it this morning? Like, we're going to be able to give it maybe 4 or 5 minutes. It's not a lot to ask any broadcaster when there are people dying on our streets. I mean, okay, God forbid, if there was 5 people shot in 8 days on various streets around our country, I guarantee you every broadcast media would be covering it, and it'd be front and center on every newspaper, every radio and television news bulletin, and they'd be even dedicating special programs to it, I'd say, at this stage. But not for this.
No, it's become an afterthought, really. And I mean, you'd remember as well as I do, there was a point where any homeless death was acknowledged. Even Owen Murphy, in the first maybe year or so of his time in office, you know, anytime anyone passed away in the street or anything like that, there was a comment from government about it. But then they became so frequent that they just stopped. And now it's kind of like, it's a bit of an afterthought. And it's the likes of ourselves screaming and shouting on social media and stuff like that that's making people aware that this is actually happening. But yeah, there's definitely been a noticeable difference in regards to particularly TV news media regarding housing and homelessness. But as I say, that's probably a result of COVID-19, that they seem to be totally focused on that for the moment. And, you know, it's unfortunate because a lot of people still get their news from the likes of RT News and Virgin Media News or whatever paper they buy every day. So if they're not covered in those things, they're not going to know about it. You know, where I know a lot of people now are in the podcast era that would listen to yourselves or listen to our friends as well, the Echo Chamber podcast, who always cover these things, just like yourselves always cover them. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that aren't realising what's going on. And I know that from conversations with my own family and my own friends.
I think it's just shocking, Brian, because, you know, and we have to acknowledge and we have to take on board and we have to be cognizant of coronavirus and the threat it is to people and the danger it poses to people. But, and this is the but, I was going to call it normal life, but life as we knew it before, in a lot of facets, is still going on. People are still homeless, people are still hungry. The people who were struggling before are struggling now, only I would contend probably struggling even more than they did before. All these things are still happening. And
absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there, Donny. People are struggling even more because not only are they dealing with the issue that they might have had 12 months ago regarding, you know, whether it's under a low paid job and food poverty is a concern, if trying to keep rent paid and so on. But then you add in the mental strain that everyone has had, and I mean everybody across the board, not just people that are homeless or people that have, you know, illnesses or things like that. Everyone has been affected by COVID-19. I know people that who are on the outside, lives are perfect, nice house, nice, and they struggled with lockdown and working from home and are struggling with that whole process. So I think people that are under financial strain or food strain or rental strains or living in homeless accommodation, that's mental health strain has been increased by 10, you know, over the course of this year. And that's why we have seen a few personal tragedies within homelessness as well, because the wraparound supports aren't there. There isn't enough mental health support not only within homelessness, but across the board. We're very fortunate that we partnered up with BABS Empowerment Services last year, that we have our own mental health side of things now, because we have people we can turn to for the mental health support. But across the board, it's just not there. And that applies from children right the way up to seniors.
Yeah, and that's Will Cummings and his crew, and indeed we spoke to them as well, and brilliant work they're doing. And, you know, again, people should really be grateful that their organisations and people like yourselves and Will are out there doing what they're doing, because the work they're doing is phenomenal, and it really is, for those of us who can see it firsthand, it really is appreciated, Brian.
Thanks.
And I know you don't do it for thanks, because if you did, you wouldn't be doing it. You know, I'm struggling here, Brian, because I'm always, as you know, I'm a glass half full type of guy. Can we part company, even though I have a feeling it'll be briefly, because we will be chatting again, I would imagine, at least once, if not twice, before Christmas. But can we part on this Monday morning at 52 minutes past 11, or 8 minutes to 12, as it used to be in old money, on some good news? Can you give me any bit of something to grasp onto in the way of good news, Brian?
Well, in the way of good news, I suppose, the biggest thing from our perspective is that we're going to endeavour to support all the people that we've supported every Christmas, you know, for previous years, and that would increase this year. So we're going to do everything in our power to make it a normal Christmas for people, even though it won't be a normal Christmas for everybody, because it's going to be very, very strange this year. So we're going to do everything in our power to make it as Christmassy as possible for people that are homeless, to make sure that they get their present, that they get recognition, that they know that someone cares. And we're going to put everything into that. Outside of that, from a positivity perspective, all I can say to you and your listeners is everyone look after each other. You know, I think if we've learned anything this year, it's that material values don't necessarily mean anything. You know, COVID-19 didn't discriminate whether you had 100 million in your bank account or you're minus €1,000. It doesn't matter. So I think we should all value each other as human beings more and appreciate the very simple things in life. I know we discussed this off air as well, but to be able to have heat, food, a bed and a shower, I think we should value that more than we've ever valued it in the history of the state before, because the way this year has gone, we need to appreciate each other, we need to support each other, and we need to keep each other safe.
Brian McLaughlin, on that positive and upbeat note, can I thank you once again for joining me, Brian?
Appreciate it as always, Tony. Thank you.
Continue the good work, and hats off to you. And I know that we here at Near FM, and I know in my heart and soul that every one of our listeners are really, really appreciative and grateful for all the work you're doing down there. You know, I can't compliment you and say enough good things about you. Brian McLaughlin, Communications Officer with the Inner City Helping Homeless. Brian, thanks a million.
Thanks, Tony.